asked here because I think I'm supposed to say something hopeful, and I've never done that in my life, and I'm not going to start now. We agree on some things, we disagree on some other things. Let me just observe this as a start. 35 years ago, we would have sat in a room like this and said, Congress is the problem in American politics. We need a unitary executive. We need Ronald Reagan at the top, right? Chadha was a great, great victory for the conservative movement, for presidential government. There were endless books written about the Federer presidency and how, you know, derelict Congress is and how terrible it is for American government. I'm not taking sides. I'm not saying that was wrong. I'm not saying you are wrong now. I'm just saying, before we get all excited about which institution are we favoring, let's realize that we've been on both sides of this debate for quite some time. Okay? I want to read you something and then sort of riff on some of the things that Joe talked about. Executive power has the advantage of concentration in a single head, in whose choice the whole nation has a part, making him the focus of public hopes and expectations. In drama, magnitude, and finality, his decisions so far overshadow any others that almost alone he fills the public eye and ear. No other personality in public life can begin to compete with him in access to the public mind through modern methods of communication. Moreover, the rise of the party system has made a significant extra-constitutional supplement to real executive power. No appraisal of his necessities is realistic, which overlooks that he heads a political system as well as a legal system. Party loyalties and interests, sometimes more binding than law, extend his effective control into branches of government other than his own, and he often may win as a political leader what he cannot command under the Constitution. Our institutions may be destined to pass away, but it is the duty of the court to be the last and not the first to give them up. Joe knows this very well. He knows where this comes from. It's Robert Jackson's opinion in the Steele seizure case, written in 1952. There are several things that are noteworthy about this decision. And quite remarkable. What the case is about is, you know, can the president seize the steel mills to keep the war going or keep the troops supplied in Korea? It's in the middle of the war. The Supreme Court almost never does that, right? Usually they punt and then say, okay, over to you, Mr. President, but we're still alive and kicking. And they say that after the fact. This is the one exception until the detention cases where they actually said no more. What they're afraid of is permanent emergency government, right? And they think they absolutely have to slam on the brakes. There's six majority opinions in the case. You know, by Justice Jackson, Justice Frankfurter, Justice Clark, blah, 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 blah. None of them very convincing, but they bring this baby down, you know, with Band-Aids and duct tape because they think they have to do it. God bless America. Without that decision, I think President Nixon would never have ended up, handed over the tapes. Donald Trump would still be in the White House surrounded by tanks and, you know, Rudy Giuliani would be whatever. Sorry. We would be in a worse place without that decision. That's one thing. The second thing is that, I mean, this sounds so modern to me now, right? It's 1952. There are three TV stations. And, you know, he realizes the technology really, really matters. He realizes that party government matters, right? That really changes the way the system works. We don't have a separation of powers. That's ridiculous. We have a separation of parties, right? And so if you think about the way the world works, the way Congress works, that's, it seems to me, is the place you want to start thinking about things. I am not totally sure what Joe means by strong or weak parties, right? In a way, the parties are amazingly strong. I mean, you just look at their voting behavior in Congress. It's astounding. I mean, it is really remarkable, right? The president says, jump, and they do, right? And we all celebrate Senator Manchin on occasion. But, you know, he's being played for a chump. I mean, that's not for real. So it's party, 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 party government. And I've already spoken too long. I want to know from Joe, what exactly is it that you would do to strengthen parties in the way that would be constructive? I can think of three things. One is you want to abolish primaries, right? And give the parties control over who the candidates are. Where I sit, I mean, or when I read newspapers, Mitch McConnell, that's a joke. He can't do anything to pick his own candidates, yeah? And so you end up with J.D. Vance. Whatever. That ain't gonna happen. The second thing I could think of is you want parties to be in control of the money. That ain't gonna happen either, right? And the third thing that I could think of is you may want to re-parochialize Congress. That is to say, give the committees much more power. If you want congressional government, congressional influence, you must have committees. And the reason for that is that the members of the committees, ag or whatever it is, right, they may have more in common with one another than they have with the rest of their party. That's the way to run the system. And once you have that in place, they can actually oversee an administrative agency and ride herd on them. John Dingell, yep. Right? That's what you'd want. I don't see that happening either. And so now what exactly is left? I have a lot more to say, but I'd rather have this be a conversation than yelling at you.